In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. After his resurrection from the dead, Jesus declared that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him. This idea, the thought of possessing all authority, multiple books and stories and movies. What would you do if you had that? What would you do if you possessed all authority in heaven and on earth? Would you eat and drink your fill of the best meat and the finest wine at every meal? Would you take for yourself hundreds of the most beautiful women, or most handsome men for that matter, to be your lovers? Would you lead armies into battle and conquer nations for yourself? Maybe even the entire world. Would you stand before adoring crowds, chanting your name in worship and adoration? If you possessed all authority in heaven and on earth, would you rewrite the moral code to make all of this acceptable? I think most would. But even if you were not so inclined to indulge every desire of the flesh, you would likely use such all-encompassing authority to help yourself out just a little bit, maybe to afford to eat out a few more times a month, to take a few years or maybe a few pounds off of the wife or husband, to have a little bit bigger house or a slightly newer car, to get just the next promotion at work. But you would still use this authority for yourself and for your benefit all the same. Repent. For if you had the authority to do anything you wanted, you would think only of your wants and your needs and how to indulge them. And in some ways, it's worse to think that you would use unlimited authority in limited ways. At least the sinner who admits that he would go overboard in satisfying all of his fleshly appetites is being honest. Now, as we heard on Sunday, the devil foolishly assumed that Jesus would do the same thing. The devil thought that Jesus was a sinner no different than any other man who ever lived, who would undoubtedly serve his own needs and wants as soon as the opportunity arose to do so. All Satan had to do was give Jesus a little push. Command these stones to become bread. Throw yourself down. All these I will give you. But as we also heard on Sunday, Jesus did no such thing. Jesus did not serve himself. He did not indulge his needs. He did not satisfy his wants, not even for a moment, not even in the slightest a way imaginable. Instead, there in the wilderness, Jesus found his food and drink in the Word of God, which also was his sword and shield, fighting against the attacks of the devil. There in the wilderness, it was proven that our Lord's heart was filled with great love for his Father, for sinners, and for you. And this wasn't simply a matter of his humiliation, as if Jesus selflessness was only a temporary thing that he had to do until he died, as if after 30-some years of focusing all his attention on others, he could then take a little me time and think about himself. No. For as we heard today, when Jesus stood on the mountain and declared to the 11 disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," he then went on to declare, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You see, even in his state of exaltation, even possessing all authority in heaven and on earth, not only as true God, but also as true man, Jesus still had you, your forgiveness, your salvation, at the forefront of his thoughts and intentions. And so with all authority having been given to him, he instituted the sacrament of holy baptism for you, that you might become his disciple and you might receive the free gift of eternal life. Once again, we see that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are our ways His ways. What Jesus said and did on that mountain certainly passes beyond all human understanding. Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, wills to use His all-surpassing authority for the sake of sinners. And so He instituted a washing with water. Something simple, too simple it might seem. Washing with water, this is something that is already done by every single human being, every single culture throughout the world and throughout history. If our authority can't be used to satisfy every need and want, well, maybe it can be used to satisfy our thirst for excitement and novelty. But not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. For possessing all authority, He did not seek His own glory. Rather, He sought to give us His glory, and to do so through the most plain and ordinary means imaginable. And this too reveals to us Jesus' heart, which overflows with mercy and compassion for sinners everywhere. For He did not will that sinners like us should receive eternal salvation through 40 days of fasting in a wilderness, or by undertaking a great pilgrimage to some remote shrine, or by transcending this mortal body in visions and in dreams. Again, our human reason would assume that one possessing all authority in heaven and on earth would at least make it somewhat of a challenge to become His disciple and inherit eternal life. Like Naaman the leper, we would think that there should be some pomp and circumstance, a show, some dazzling vision, something befitting the great authority of the Lord who is over all. But no. The Lord Jesus wills that His church should make disciples of all nations using water. Not magic water. Not water from some sacred stream or spring. But water that is readily available to all people everywhere. Whether it comes from a river or a faucet. Water that is used to wash everyone, from the newborn infant in the hospital to the elderly on his deathbed. If our Lord truly wanted to make disciples of all nations, what better way to do so than to institute a sacrament using plain water? Even if it fails to amaze us in our misguided thirst for spectacle. But of course, baptism is not just plain water. It is the water included in God's command and combined with God's Word. And this, the Word of God, the Word of Him who is head over all things, this is what makes the gift of baptism so excellent, so glorious, and so exalted, even if the eye only beholds water as we pour it. For you see, what the Lord Himself institutes can never be empty or useless or boring, no matter how simple, plain, or ordinary it might appear. Jesus said, baptize. And the church in obedience does so, because by faith we know that His Word has the authority to make what was once plain water into a divine, heavenly, holy, and blessed washing. Like Naaman's servants, let us recognize that this is indeed a great word that Christ our dear Lord has spoken to us. And that word is this, again, as we heard a little bit ago. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here is the command of Christ, who indeed has the authority to command the church to do what He wills. And again, what He wills is your salvation. The salvation of sinners through water and the triune name. To wash a sinner with water and to speak any other name or word besides the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's not a true baptism. It's a poor imitation. Likewise, to use the right name, but no water or some other created substance, would not be what Christ our dear Lord gave. But to be washed with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, this is to receive what Christ our dear Lord instituted, God's very own gift of baptism, that which Christ intends to be the everlasting salvation of sinners. To be washed with water in the name of the triune God is to be washed clean, not in the body, but in the soul, and to be washed by God Himself. Even though your flesh, prodded along by the world and the devil himself, even though these would try to direct you to more and greater works that dazzle the eye and befuddle the senses, Christ has instituted baptism. And because Christ has instituted it, possessing all authority, there is no work of men or angels that is as great. For again, God is the one who has given it. Because God is the one who has given it, this is filled with power and glory. Is it any wonder that our Lord's own baptism should be accompanied by the heavens opening, the Father speaking, and the Holy Spirit descending in divine glory and majesty? There we hear what is hidden now to the eye. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working through washing with water and the Word of God. You see, in the sacrament of baptism, the gifts that are revealed at Jesus' baptism are given to us as well. As the Spirit of God descended like a dove and came to rest on Jesus, so also the Holy Spirit comes to us in baptism and rests in us. In baptism, we are given the Holy Spirit to sanctify us and to keep us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Likewise, as the Father said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," so also He declares all who are baptized and believe in Him to be His beloved children. He is well pleased with them, not because of their good works or efforts, but rather because baptism covers them with the robe of Christ's righteousness, the robe that covers all their sin. Again, this is just as Christ our dear Lord has willed it. Having received all authority in heaven and on earth, not only according to His divine nature, but also His human nature, our Lord willed not to reward Himself, to rest easy, or to satisfy all of His wants that He had set aside during His humiliation. No. Rather, Christ our dear Lord willed to give to you and to all sinners what you need the most: salvation from sin, death, and the devil. And the means He instituted to do so, to deliver all that He won by the shedding of His blood on the cross, is not some great and difficult work, not something that mortal men would consider to be impressive and amazing and miraculous, but something that is intended to be a gift for all nations. The simple of washing of water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But by faith, we know this baptism, this simple water in the Word of God, does great and glorious things. It works forgiveness of sins. It rescues from death and the devil. And it gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. And so as we are near the beginning of our Lenten meditations and our Lenten preparations, repent of your sins. Repent of selfishness. Repent of pride. Repent of greed. Repent of self-service. Look to Jesus Christ, who is selfless, who uses all His authority for your good. Believe the promises of God that He has given to you, that you have a loving Savior who was once baptized with sinners in order to save sinners, that all of your sins have been paid in full by Christ and His death on the cross, and that in baptism you have received a life-giving water, rich in grace and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. For through baptism you have been declared God's beloved child. By His grace alone, With you he is well pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.